Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Amanda Silver.
Howdy, folks. Oh, let me just really quickly, this should be extended mode so I can see what I'm going to talk about. Hold on one second. Sorry. Didn't think about that when I was setting up. There we go. Okay. You guys ready to get started? Yeah. I'm really excited to be here at Xamarin Evolve. I'm really excited to welcome the Xamarin team to the Microsoft family and to the Visual Studio family. You know, a lot of these guys who are in the audience here up front in the coral shirts have been working on Visual Studio and Xamarin for a whole bunch of years. And we exchange emails all the time, and now I'm finally getting to meet them face-to-face because they live in other countries. So it's really fantastic to see them. And it's great to see all of you. So how many of you guys use Visual Studio as your primary IDE? You're at the right talk. Good. All right. So let me introduce you to myself. My name is Amanda Silver. I'm the Director of Program Management for Visual Studio. My team basically works on the core platform, so basically the core editor, the core debugging experience, all that kind of stuff, as well as the client tools, so basically any app that you might use to build a client application. So that's all of the Windows native tools, as well as the tools for Apache Cordova, and over the past couple of years, I've been working with the Xamarin team as well. And then I also work with the C++ team on our cross-platform mobile tools. The other thing that my team does is tools for web development, client web development. So the TypeScript programming language, the Chakra JavaScript engine, all of that kind of stuff is on my team. So broad range of stuff. But today I'm going to basically talk about the future of Visual Studio, both kind of what's new in Visual Studio 2015, which was released, you know, last summer, but we've made basically two pretty significant updates to it recently, and the third one's coming out very, very shortly, as well as give you guys a glimpse into what's coming for the next major Visual Studio version. How many of you guys were at Build? Few. Okay. So some of the content I'll be talking about was what I talked about at Build, but most of it has actually been changed up to be, you know, customized to you guys, Xamarin developers, .NET developers. Now, we have a lot of really passionate people back in Redmond who are passionate about developer productivity, and really, we spend all of our time thinking about how we can make your life better as a developer. I've been working on DevTools since 2001. It is my passion. I don't think I will ever work for another customer profile. I mean, I am just, you know, motivated by what developers can do. And the reason that we're passionate about developers is because we understand the power and the potential that you guys hold for your teams. You guys are really what enable your organizations to succeed, and it allows your business to connect better with your customers. It's you guys who are really kind of making our future brighter. And our goal at Microsoft is to provide developers with platforms and tools that will make you guys incredibly successful. It's a mission since we've really had since the inception of the company. And that's one of the reasons why Microsoft is probably one of the only places that I could do this kind of a job. We're increasingly delivering all of these things with an open approach. And you can use our tools to target pretty much any platform at this point. You guys know at this point you can target Windows, and you guys know you can target iOS and Android as well. But you can also use Visual Studio to deploy backends not only to Windows Server, but also to Linux. And I talked about that a little bit at Build. I won't be talking about that as much today. Another thing that we're really focusing on for the future of Visual Studio is making sure that it's possible for you guys to learn and to contribute back to the open domain. So I'll show you a little bit about that today. The impact of an individual developer has really never been stronger than it is today. And what we get excited about is the opportunity to streamline your workflow. even if it's just shaving milliseconds off of the time that it takes for you guys to write a function. I mean, think about the multiplicative effect that has in terms of the productivity of your users of your applications. That's pretty amazing. So that's why we really spend a lot of time kind of making sure that you guys have the most productive experience. Our mission with Visual Studio is to make sure that we have the best-in-class tools that can be used by any developer. With VS Code, we now have tools that can be used by developers who prefer a lightweight code editor. And with Visual Studio Team Services, as you guys saw in Donovan's portion of the keynote demo this morning, we have a comprehensive suite of developer services that really allow you to have that complete DevOps lifecycle. From source code control to bug tracking and work item tracking to continuous integration, load testing, crash analytics, performance diagnostics, beta distribution, package management, release management, I mean, the list goes on and on. But the reason is because the DevOps process can actually be kind of complex, and we want to make sure that you can automate all of it. Now, for the rest of the session, I'm really going to focus on the Visual Studio IDE, which is an immersive experience that's made for your development needs. And even when, and as you guys probably know, how many of you guys are using Visual Studio when you're developing for iOS? A whole bunch of you. And how many of you are using Xamarin Studio when you develop for iOS? Some of you. Okay. But I think that, you know, the demos this morning really showed that what we're trying to do is to make it so that for you guys who think that Visual Studio is your favorite IDE, that you can be productive developing against iOS even on Windows with Visual Studio. So that's something that we absolutely want to do. Now, Visual Studio is the most popular developer IDE in the world. Visual Studio 2015, since it launched last July, has had over 12.7 million downloads. We're actually almost at 13 million downloads, which is pretty exciting. We also have about 6,000 extensions for the Visual Studio IDE in the gallery. And that's increasing at a rate of about 100 per month. So pretty much any kind of app that you would want to build, you can go to the gallery and you'd probably find something that would make you a little bit more productive. And we've actually seen you guys use them. We have over 950,000 extension downloads per month. So we know you guys are using them, and it's pretty common to see folks use them. I'm going to show you guys a whole bunch of new bits today. The bits that I have on these two boxes are a combination of Visual Studio 2015 Update 2 plus a few private patches and things like that. I have the Update 2. There was a further update for the Universal Windows applications. I also have the Visual Studio 15 preview that I'll show you here. And I have about 10 private builds or so. So a lot of this stuff you guys might not be able to do today, but you will be able to do in the coming months. Another thing I'm going to show you guys is a behind-the-scenes demo of some of the infrastructure that we have in Visual Studio that allows Visual Studio to continuously get better based on your feedback. One of the objectives of Visual Studio is to allow you guys to build any application. Now, at Build, I showed a demo of how you can use Visual Studio to build a C++ application that was using OpenGL that was actually deployed to Linux Ubuntu. How many of you guys are building apps for Linux? A few of you. So this is not the good demo for this audience. So I tweaked my demo from Build, and instead I'm going to actually show you guys the tools for Unity. JB Evian was a Mono developer since 2004, and he joined Novell in 2007. And a few years later, he started a company called Syntax Tree. That company was actually acquired by Microsoft in 2014. But the result of it is that, you know, we have basically the best tools for Unity, and it's included as part of Visual Studio. How many of you guys have developed a Unity app? One. Okay. So Unity is a very cool gaming engine that allows you to build 2D and 3D games, and you can actually script it in C#. So I'm just going to show you that real quick. So what you see here is the Unity Designer, or IDE. And this IDE is really designed to create games very easily. Now, most of you guys are probably not designers, and so you look at this kind of experience, if we actually play it, you look at this experience and you're like, okay, I can't do that. I can tell you that's what I think when I think about that. That is just not something that I am ever going to build because I'm a compiler and language geek. But the cool thing about Unity is that actually a whole bunch of these things, the scenes, the templates, the glyphs, the characters, et cetera, you can actually go and get from their own asset store. And so a lot of these things you don't necessarily need to build. Now let me open up another project real quick. One quick note here is that the Surface Book is actually really cool for mobile development. I think you guys probably know that by now because of the touch screen. But it's actually even cool for Unity development as well, because if I scroll up here, I'm trying to get my mouse off of this screen, and I actually can't really do that because the mouse is kind of trapped in this scene view. But what I can do to get back to the pause is just to touch it right here with my finger, and if I actually touch it properly, then it will go back to that mode, so I don't need to use the mouse to do that. I can actually kind of use this as another canvas or input. So now I'm going to go and open another project, and in this case I'm going to open the 2D game, which is the Vampire Apocalypse series. And this is a sample that you guys could download today and go play with tonight and start scripting against. But if you see here, it actually has all of the physics kind of already built into it. It's kind of like a Super Mario type. I'm not a gamer. As I said, I'm a compiler geek. So, but I will die. And all of that is kind of built into the physics engine. So really, each of these little characters, all of the little glyphs, you can actually get that from the asset engine. Now, why is this interesting and fun to us? Well, part of it is that we can actually script this game once we build these scenes and we kind of create the physics engine and things like that using the Unity game engine. We can script the games using C#. And let me show you how we set that up. So if I go to this Vamp Kid, you can see that one of the things that I can create here is this Vamp controller, and I can associate with that a Vamp controller script. If I click on that, you see the little yellow. That is the script that's defined here. Now, one of the things that we've done is we've actually worked with the Unity team to make Visual Studio the default editor for any of these scripts. So you can see that I can basically do this editing experience for the scene and the graphics and all of that kind of stuff with the Unity IDE, but I can actually open the editor in Visual Studio, and I can go to like the Solution Explorer, and you can see that the scripts basically have the same kind of folder structure that they have in the Unity IDE. One of the things about Unity is that you don't use a project file or a solution file, you just open a folder, and Visual Studio natively understands that with Visual Studio tools for Unity. Another aspect of this is obviously that I can kind of set debug breakpoints and hit them and things like that. And so it's just a really cool, you know, way to kind of experiment. If you're writing business applications all the time, it might be a fun thing to write a game every once in a while and see how you can do it. Another point of note here is that Unity is also a cross-platform framework, so the games that I'm building here, actually, I'm targeting the PC or Linux or things like that, but I can also add iOS or other things like that if I want to. So let's just go back to the slides real quick. So that just goes to show you guys one of the many examples that we have in Visual Studio that allows you to build for any app on any platform. And many people might not know this because we haven't really talked about it broadly, but we also added support for cross-platform mobile C++ in Visual Studio 2015. How many of you guys occasionally write C++? A lot of you guys, right? So we now have we now have Gradle support and things like that, and actually Clang and GCC directly supported in Visual Studio 2015. So you can build native activity apps with C++. And most of the time, you guys, especially as Xamarin developers, are probably not going to be doing that. But if you want to depend on somebody else's component that is a C++ component, you can actually take that in and use that in Visual Studio. In fact, at Microsoft, over 50% of the internal teams at Microsoft, so think about, you know, Wanderlust and Office and so on and so forth, over 50% of the teams that are building apps for Android and iOS are actually authored in C++, and they use our tools. And the reason for that is that they've started from a very rich, you know, desktop code base. So we'll continue to support any developer, any app, and that really allows you guys to break into new territory based on what your business needs. But we know what matters to you guys individually is your productivity. So let's talk about our vision for the developer inner loop. We want to make sure that you guys can edit and update your code without having to lift your fingers from the keyboard. That's really our goal. So yes, we have mouse functions and things like that, but that's one of the reasons why we spend so much time thinking about what the hotkey should be for that thing. We also really want to make sure that you guys can write code in situ in the editor. And if that's a debugging experience or a test experience or just changing another small little line of code, that you can do that all in the context of where your mental headspace is. We also know that compile time is extremely important to you guys. And so that's why it's really kind of the difference between staying in the zone and taking a water cooler break. And so that's why we invested so much in incremental compile and background compile for C# and for JavaScript and TypeScript and Python. We really try to make sure that you can navigate seamlessly between the editor and kind of the interactive runtime where it's running. We've also really dramatically improved our C++ compile time in 2015. And link time has improved by about 2 to 3 times. So for example, the Kinect sports rival game went from 620 seconds to 68 seconds, basically 10 minutes down to 1 minute from Visual Studio 2013 to 2015. With respect to diagnostics, we really want to make sure that your experience derives from your source. And so one of the things that we've done is we've added perf tips in 2015 so that as you are basically debugging through your code, you can see in the editor basically how long that little line of code took. And we provide all of this data in context so that you can navigate to the CPU profiler directly from the editor with just a few hotkeys or mouse clicks. With test and diagnostics, we really think about those two things as being kind of two sides of the same coin. Like, you're not writing a test if you're not also debugging that test at the same time and you're debugging your program at the same time. And so with the new test recorder that was announced this morning, that's even more true than ever. So let me show you really quick just a couple of these. I don't have time to show you all of the features that are in Visual Studio 2015, but I'll show you a few of them. And let's start with the Xamarin Evolve app. So let's switch over. And we will not do iOS right now. So a couple of things I want to show you guys. If we go to the sessions page, if I go in here, Visual Studio crashed on me right before this session, so it didn't quite get set up. Shared. UI clients and sessions page. There we go. Okay, so now let's go to line 23. Okay, so you guys see, this is basically the Xamarin Evolve app that probably, how many of you guys have it installed on your phones right now? So you're familiar with the app, you've probably been using it. This is basically all of the source for it. Now, one of the things I wanted to show you guys is this show past sessions. And we can, you know, hit F12 to go to definition, if my function key is on. And you can see the show past sessions. Now, one of the things that's interesting here is date time UTC now is greater than end of evolve. End of evolve sounds kind of ominous. I probably want to check out what that is. But it's not that complex. So I don't necessarily want to take my entire context and switch that view into that other source code. So instead, what I'm going to do is hit Alt F12, and I can actually look at that in this peak view. And you can see that I not only can see the code here, but I can actually scroll to the right and see what it's made up of. How many of you guys are enjoying your time here today? So we should clearly extend the time for Xamarin Evolve. So I just showing you guys that we can not only peek at that, but we can actually inline edit that, make really small, you know, kind of edits there. I can go ahead and save it. I can also go ahead and promote this to the Docwell if I decide that that's what I want to do. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to show you guys is the store manager. I apologize for having to navigate. I know for expediency, I prefer to have this up, but data stores, Azure, store manager. And if I go to line 56, we can see this drop everything async. So generally, anything that ends with async is very often called an async. And so, you know, my default, this is on insert. So my default would be to make that an async as well. But then you see that we actually get this little green squiggle here. And the reason for that is that there is no await that's defined in this function. And so the cool thing about Visual Studio 2015 is I can hit just control dot, and it basically automatically brings up the autocorrect. And I can just go ahead and enter, and it just makes the method asynchronous. Now that should be task, but you get the point here. Now, the other thing I wanted to show you guys, I don't think they showed this to you during the keynote, but if we go to the tools options and we go down to Xamarin, this is basically how you can enable the new remote simulator so that it automatically launches on Windows. So that's just that button there. Okay. Next thing I'm going to show you guys is basically running the application. Now, I already have this emulator running, but let's just go ahead and get it going. This will take just a minute. And in the meantime, I will bring up the file that I need, which is right here, and go to line 99. There we go. So we're just deploying in just a sec. So how many of you guys are familiar with conditional breakpoints? I don't need to do this demo. One of the things that we've added for the next major version of Visual Studio Codename 15 is actually being able to set the context for conditional breakpoints directly in the editor so that you don't need to bring up a modal dialog. For time, I'm going to kind of skip ahead, which is probably good news for me. Okay. So now let's jump back to slides real quick. There we go. Okay. So our vision for the developer inner loop has evolved. And I think over the past couple of years, you know, we used to think about it as edit, compile, debug. Now we think compile happens all the time. We now think definitely that test is part of that. But the other thing that we view as part of the inner loop is commit. Now you guys might be surprised to know that Git is the most used source control within Visual Studio. In fact, over TFVC. But the important thing to understand is that about two-thirds of our users in Visual Studio actually use more than one version control system. And so in terms of repositories, we have a lot of folks in VSTS. We also have a lot of folks on GitHub and in Bitbucket. We know this through telemetry and other kinds of, you know, obviously your feedback as well. New to both Visual Studio 2015 update, as of update 2, and Visual Studio 15, quote, coming in a few weeks, will have commit as a core part of your dev inner loop. In update 2, the only provider is Git, but in update 3, which will be coming out very, very shortly, we will also have TFVC as another provider that's supported. So let me just go ahead and show that to you guys. Switch over here again. Now I will close this out. And what I'll do instead is open the Hikunator. Now Hikunator is basically a project that I got off of GitHub. Let me go ahead and open the project. Hikunator CS. I haven't done anything to this project from what I got off of GitHub, as you can see. Now, if we open the Solution Explorer, you can see that basically what Hikunator does is it takes, you know, common words that are used in a haiku, and then it just creates a random name based on those words, combining those words together and a random number. So it's a pretty basic function. The idea here is that it's actually been implemented in a whole bunch of different languages so that people can compare what .NET looks like compared to Python, compared to Ruby, and so on and so forth. But because this was written by a .NET developer and we do everything completely, this one also comes with tests, whereas the other one does not. So I have Hikunator test here. Now, one of the things that you guys will see, because I just opened this project for the first time, the addition here is this publish. So let me just zoom in on that. And again, you can actually see that I have the hotkeys associated here. So you can always read what the hotkeys are. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and actually click publish here. And then you can see that I get all of the different options automatically come up to me. So I could publish this to my Team Services account. I could publish this to my GitHub repo. And in this case, I'm going to pick my GitHub repo. I can just go ahead and publish that, which will take just a second. But now, if we go to my profile, you can actually see that I have a very popular repository called Hikunator CS. And the other thing that you'll see here is that in addition to having the ability to publish directly, I can also create a new branch directly from this control. And so let's just go ahead and do that. I can create a feature branch. Let's call it test branch. And I will make that a sub-branch of the master and go ahead and create that branch. Okay, so now I'm working in this test branch. And so I can go ahead and do, you know, various kinds of changes. One of the things I think I'd like to do is to just create a new function. Instead of Hikunator, I will create Susanate, which will create Suspace, Dr. Suspace names. And then I will just go ahead and save that. And what you see here, again, if in this control, is I have one change pending. If I go ahead and click on that, then I can go ahead and create a commit message, Susanate, and I can commit all. And then I can go ahead and I can see that I have one change that's still pending from the main repo. And so I can go ahead and fetch that and publish that directly into my GitHub repo. And then we could go back and we can see that we actually have one new pull request directly in my GitHub repo. Now, so far, we don't yet have the full pull request experience in 2015, but that's coming very shortly in another update. So let's switch back to slides. So that just shows you guys kind of what we're working on in terms of commit history. And our goal is to make sure that you guys can use hotkeys, that you guys can, you know, do all of that kind of commit and look at new repos and things like that directly from the IDE. And also that the commit history is associated with your profile in Visual Studio, so none of that is lost. So that's really important to us. Now, you guys have probably, let's just really quickly kind of start to talk about the next version of Visual Studio. You guys have probably never seen Visual Studio set up during a demo. No? Let me just bring that up here. So what you guys see here is the new version of the Visual Studio installer that's part of Visual Studio 15. And I'm just going to go ahead and install. Obviously, I'm getting prompted here for admin privileges. But I will just speak to this slide as it installs. Let's make sure that that's still on the top. OK. Good. So we have 45 minutes, right? Oh, maybe we have a few minutes remaining. But let's see what we can do. No, really, I wanted you guys to see how quick it can be. Now that Visual Studio provides tools for any developer in any app, it also means that the size of the installation, if you install absolutely everything, is kind of large. you know, we have Android SDK, iOS SDK, et cetera, et cetera. 75% of our users install the default, which includes a few Windows platforms and the web tools. But most of our Visual Studio users don't target all of those different workloads. So we set out in this next version to make an installation experience that's really lightweight. We want it to install in megabytes, not gigabytes. We want it to install in minutes, not hours. And it's the same IDE that you guys know and love, only faster and lighter. So the base should download in about 300 megabytes. It should install in about 500 megabytes on disk. And we continue to try to improve that. And it's fast. The average install is less than 180 seconds. It's also optimized for you. It allows you guys to see what you're installing. And you can also get back to this screen really easily without having to go to add remove programs, so that if you decide down the road that you want to add another workload, you can really easily do that. It's also low impact, so the core of the Visual Studio shell doesn't touch the machine-wide GAC or registry. And it installs side by side with Visual Studio 2015 and even the big installer. Now, not all of the workloads are supported in this installer today. Xamarin is not there yet, but these guys are going to be working on it in a few months, weeks. But all of them will be there by the time we ship. So what you guys can see is, in that time, I actually installed the min installer. And we can go ahead and launch this. I'm doing two screens here, so apologize. Oh, there we go. It got brought up, but on my other screen. And I will do dark theme and start Visual Studio. And you guys can see that it's being brought up. There we go. It popped on my screen, but here you go. That's what actually gets launched. Now with this obviously doesn't have all of the different workloads, all of the C# compiler and debugger and everything that a lot of you guys might need, but It does have basically all of the kind of core text editing experiences that you would want, sans IntelliSense, that kind of stuff. But it is really easy to kind of go back and modify this down the road as well. So let me go back to the slides real quick. It also has full access to the gallery and the extension gallery. So if you decide that you want to be able to have that minimum install, but then install an extension on top of it, you can absolutely do all of that. OK. So I'm just going to talk really quickly about, do a quick demo of the future of productivity in this next version of Visual Studio. I'm just going to come back to this as well. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to open this same application with that next version of the Visual Studio preview, Visual Studio 15 preview. So this is the version that hasn't been released yet. It's basically, you know, alpha, beta-ish at this point. But we can go ahead and open that and open that same project that I had open previously. Now, this was actually something that we released in an update of Visual Studio 2015, so you can actually do that in this context, but I'm going to show you a couple of things that you can't do in the Visual Studio 2015, and I'll call them out as I go along. But one of the things that we added in a recent update is to be able to initialize the interactive window with a project. You can see that this is actually building the project, and it's actually basically creating the interactive window with that project. So now I can go ahead and say using hyphenator.tests, a little tiny bug, and then I can say var tests equals new hyphenate tests, and do that, and then I can say tests dot setup, and then I can say tests.testsuscinate, and you can see that it actually generates great Lorax there. So I have that context kind of already built up here. Now, another thing that we are adding, that's the thing that you guys can do today in the update. The thing that I'm going to show you now is only going to be in the next version of Visual Studio 2015, Visual Studio 15, which is this IntelliSense window that you see here. Now, I'm only showing you this in the REPL window context because of a slight, I told you I had private bits, so I have some IntelliSense features working in the REPL window, I have some IntelliSense features that are working in the editor. They don't actually work well together today, but we're working on that. But one of the things that you see here is that we actually have, if I do this, dot framework dot attribute, you actually see that I have completion. I have basically looking for substrings and things like that, as opposed to precisely what's always there. The other thing that you'll see is these little glyphs at the bottom of the IntelliSense window. Now, the glyphs, if you open up your typical WPF application and you bring up the completion list, that has 2,004 members that you could complete your statement with. That's obviously a lot to kind of grok and understand. And so what we tried to do is to make it easier so that you guys can basically look through everything that's available to you. So what you see down here are basically glyphs that allows you to look at, for example, the interfaces or the attributes in this case, or you know other things like that. So I can basically go around to look at all of the, I can also do multi-select, so that's why it's kind of ending up not completing. But I can actually look at all of the different members that I might want to have. Pretty cool? And by the way, all of those things have hotkeys. So, you know, I was using the mouse there, but you could also use Alt-I or Alt-D, et cetera, if that's what you choose to do. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to show you guys is some of the code style rules that are coming in the next version of Visual Studio 15. And so let's go to Tools, Options, and go to Text Editor, go to C Sharp here. And then you can see that we have the code style section has actually been pretty expanded. And so I have a whole bunch of different rules that I can apply here in terms of preferring this, preferring var, et cetera, et cetera. I can have some formatting rules in terms of how I like things to be laid out, indentation. I also get a preview in the context of the rules so that I can actually see what it's going to look like if I prefer this or not. For new lines, I can see place the open brace on new line for types, or I can see what it looks like when I don't, et cetera. I can see all of these things. My favorite is the naming rule. So I can actually create my own code rules for naming. And in this case, I'm going to create a new Pascal case rule. And I'm going to pick, I already pre-populated this with properties and methods. And I'm going to say I want this to be Pascal cased. And I'm going to say that the severity should be error. And now we can apply it. And we can see that if I apply it and try to create that, we actually see that the statement completion gets popped up. And not only do I get an error on that, but I actually get the autocomplete for that error that I just created. So you guys will not only be able to create a whole series of code style rules for you to use as an individual developer, but we're also going to work on making these available so that you guys can use them as part of your continuous integration process as well. Okay, the last thing I want to show you guys, I actually need to bring up another instance of Visual Studio 4. And this one is the scariest demo. So we'll see how it goes. I always make David very nervous. But we're just going to create a new project here. Now, these are really, really, really new bits. But I'm pretty sure this will work. So let's try it. So one of the things that we really want to make sure is that you guys can really easily learn from each other and that you can learn how to write code as quickly as you actually write it. So if I do Control-Shift F1, it brings up the Bing developer productivity. I forget exactly what this extension is called. But what I can do is I can actually search against Bing. Bing has actually been optimizing against Stack Overflow and a whole bunch of other source repositories so that you can actually search for code snippets. So I can go ahead and say convert XML to JSON and hit enter. And I actually get a result from the Newtonsoft documentation. And I can go ahead and copy this and close this and do Control V and paste it right in this context. Now that's pretty cool. Next thing I can do. Next thing I can do again is to hit Control Dot, and this will actually bring up a whole bunch of different autocorrect suggestions for me and give me the preview for it. So I can go ahead and say I want to use system.xml. And then I could do the same thing here on this json.convert. Now, the fix for this json.convert is the fact that I haven't included a NuGet package for the JSONsoft. So in this case, I can go ahead and say using newton.jsonsoft here, and I can actually find and install the latest version of the package and just click that, and it'll actually find it and install it and resolve the fix. Cool. So now one of the things with this is it's not just the editor that I can do this in. I can also hit Control Z, and you can see that the undo redo stack is actually hooked up to the project system as well, and basically any kind of modifications that you would want to make. So I can go ahead and redo that. And again, it basically adds back that package. Pretty cool. Now, the next thing I want to show you guys is obviously, okay, so I imported this code. Now I want to understand what it actually does. So I want to go ahead and look at the serialize XML node, and I'm going to search into that. And that actually goes into the JSONsoft code repository and kind of starts to look at that. Now, I can look at this and I can see, okay, serialize XML node, formatting none, okay. I see what's going on here. Now, the next thing I want to do is actually look at this XML node converter, because I'm kind of curious about that. And I can go ahead and hit F12 on that. And that'll actually open up the XML node converter. But what's cool about that is not only do I get to go to that repo, but if I look at find all references, you'll see that it's actually bringing up references from GitHub. So it's not only looking at the source that's in, you know, your code project, but it's actually bringing up the source from wherever I got that code from, if it's in another repo that I can access. So now what I'm going to do is just go back here and set a breakpoint and hit start. And we can see that that's not quite formatting the way that I want it to. I can go ahead and lift that up here and reset where it's being where it's going to execute. And I can say I want formatting to be indented instead. And then I can go ahead, put my cursor on this line, and I can say run to cursor, which is Control F10. I can't edit and continue in that context, but we will just stop it and restart it. Oh no. Did I do something wrong? Oh. What did I do wrong? Oh, I need the thank you autocomplete. There we go. Now we can just go ahead and restart that, and we can actually see that I went ahead and fixed that. Cool. Now, the other thing that you'll see here is that in Visual Studio 2015 and so on and so forth, we also bring up the CPU profiler and all of the perf tips, as I had mentioned earlier, in the context of the editor, so that you can easily navigate to the CPU profiler and things like that. Now let's kind of go back to slides. So I just covered a whole bunch of things that are brand spanking new functionality in Visual Studio. One of the most important ways that we know you guys that we're on the right track is by you guys giving us feedback. So one of the things that you guys might have seen in the upper right-hand corner of Visual Studio is this quick launch. One of the things that we've added in the most recent versions is that if you launch that quick launch and you add a suggestion or you report an issue, you'll actually see other issues reported by other users for that build. So you don't actually have to create your own issue. You can actually upvote somebody else's issue if that's the appropriate thing to do. It's also really important that you guys answer surveys and things like that. But I wanted to give you guys just a super quick glance at kind of what it looks like from behind the scenes if you guys basically opt into giving us some of your feedback. So I'm just going to bring up this. This is our internal tool. Now, one of the things that we do for every crash that happens in the wild is we actually collect the crash all anonymously. Like, we have no information about you guys. We're very, very concerned about our privacy policy and making sure that Visual Studio follows it. But what you can see here is that I can not only look at crashes in our internal telemetry, but I can also look at what we call a UI delay. And so that's basically any time that the main UI thread of Visual Studio has been blocked for more than 1 second, then we actually log that as though it were a crash in Visual Studio. And so this allows us to really focus on the ones that are having the highest amount of impact. And hopefully over time we can get the Xamarin Studio team to also use this same kind of infrastructure and kind of share these kinds of capabilities. So I wanted to show you guys that. The other thing I wanted to show you guys is basically how your reported issues show up for us. So this is an example of a reported issue that was brought in. You guys can't see that anymore. This was right-clicking in the context menu is very slow for certain web projects. We actually fixed that one in update 2 because of the feedback. Where is my cursor? There we go. This one is Visual Studio crashes in association with the tools for Apache Cordova. Again, we fixed it in update 2 based on feedback from you guys. But this is the important one. Now, this one's really important because the person who entered this only entered Visual Studio 2015 hangs and a pretty vague description of kind of what was happening. If we just had that description, there is no way we would be able to repo this issue and actually go and fix that. But because that person opted into our telemetry, we actually can collect the traces of basically what was happening in the Visual Studio IDE when that crash happened. And as a result, we can actually associate this reported issue with that dump, and we actually were able to fix this issue. So what I'm trying to kind of say is, the more you guys participate in our feedback systems, either through verbatim telemetry or other things like that, verbatim suggestions or things like that, or through our telemetry system, really, it really does make an impact in terms of how good Visual Studio actually is for you guys day to day. Okay, so with that, we definitely want to hear from you guys. I talked about this a little bit. But the next version of Visual Studio will have a lighter install that's optimized for you guys. We will be able to support any developer building any kind of application. Our goal is to have the most productive tooling in the industry, and we always want to improve based on your feedback, so please keep it coming. I will stay after the session and probably migrate over to the Microsoft booth. I'm happy to have any questions, anything that's on your mind, I'm happy to talk about it. Thank you guys so much.